This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm Claudine Chong. On today's edition of The Informer, we look at last week's protests against the Australian Christian Lobby, which turned violent and exposed a generation gap within the LGBTIQ community. And we talk to Fiona Patten from the Australian Sex Party, whose new law to protect women visiting abortion clinics came into effect this week. Last Wednesday, the Australian Christian Lobby brought Eric Metaxas, a conservative Christian speaker from America, to speak at Scott's Church in Lonsdale Street. As to be expected, there were groups protesting against his visit, but these protests turned unexpectedly violent. Doug Pollard, a veteran journalist and former Joy presenter, has been covering this event and its aftermath on his blog, The Stirrer. We spoke to Doug earlier today to find out exactly what happened outside Scott's Church on Wednesday.
Doug Pollard, you wrote a lot about the clash between the different groups last week during an Equal Love rally.
Yeah.
What exactly happened last Wednesday?
Well, despite the fact that I've talked to a lot of people from all sorts of different segments of the group that were there, it's still not entirely clear. But basically, it breaks down like this. Equal Love were holding what they call a speak out there. There were also a group of people calling themselves radical queers and radical trans people from the same people who disrupted the Pride March, as far as I can work out.
Yeah.
There were also groups from something called Antifa, which is an anti-fascist group. There were some anarchists present. And there was really a kind of... The whole thing was stirred up also by the presence of a couple of guys from the Reclaim Australia movement. I don't think they're actually part of Reclaim Australia anymore, but that's sort of the area they were in.
Right.
Now, the Equal Love people were hoping to hold a peaceful protest. They were simply going to line the pavement outside the church and shout through their loud hailers and chant and so forth. But the radical queer and trans youngsters decided that this wasn't good enough and they wanted to blockade the church and stop people getting into the church. And that caused some scuffling between them and Equal Love and also the police. So that was the first kind of breakout of hostilities, if you like. And some of the Christian lobby people were getting quite angry about not being allowed in and were shoving people and pushing people and so forth.
So, sorry, just to clarify, so this was happening before the conference attendees had made it into the church? So they were actually stopping people from getting in?
Yeah, they were trying to stop... Some people were trying to stop the attendees from getting in, yes. So they were still arriving while this was happening. Anyway, the next thing that happened was that these two guys, these two far-right-wingers, fascists, whatever you want to call them, they have a habit of turning up at events like this, and they were going around shoving their video cameras in people's faces. Now, some of the anarchists took exception to this, and eventually they pulled masks over their faces, and then they attacked these two fascist guys, which then resulted in a brawl between them, the fascist guys, and the police. Mm-hmm. It was all over very quickly. I think it only lasted about 50 seconds or something like that. There was a lot of exaggerated nonsense posted online by one of the fascist guys, Neil Erickson,
yep.
Who claimed to have broken the jaw of the leader of the anarchists, Kieran Bennett. Well, I spoke to Kieran. He's perfectly fine. He never laid a finger on him. And also, at one point, the fascist guy, he nearly lost his trousers in the melee. And after a brief period, he also posted a sort of slightly embarrassed thing on video online saying that someone had tried to finger his ass.
Wow. That's that is something. Well, I talked to Neil Erickson personally. I tried to get him on the show to explain himself any further. However, we had some differences and that didn't work out, unfortunately. Can you explain to me who Equal Love is? What is this group about? Do they represent a large part of the community?
Well, early on in the days when we first started fighting for marriage equality, there were two groups existing. One was Australian Marriage Equality and one was Equal Love. Equal Love began really as an offshoot of the gay and lesbian rights lobby. And in fact, I used to speak fairly regularly at their rallies, including the first one here in Melbourne. But over time, people like the Socialist Alternative Group, which is a splinter far-left-wing student group, Socialist Alliance, and others started infiltrating Equal Love and dominating the rallies. As a result, numbers of attending began to fall because people like me were not interested in hearing all about Palestine when we were at a marriage equality rally, for example. This really, what happened at the Scots Church on Wednesday is really the culmination of that, because Equal Love never really tried to take control of their rallies and never tried to stop this far-left takeover. This is where it's led us to.
So, yeah, I was wondering, how is it possible that so many groups all came together at the same time on the same place?
Yes, I had to wonder about that one, too. Kieran Bennett from the Anarchists claimed they didn't know the fascists were going to turn up. I kind of take that one with a pinch of salt, for a start. Certainly the radical queers and trans people, well, they were intent on going from the very first. And some of them are also members of the Anarchists. So that's where that one connects up.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that both the anarchists and the fascists watch each other's Facebook groups and Twitter posts, and they've got infiltrators in each other's camps and so on and so forth. So they all know what they're up to, I'm sure.
What do we know about the radical queers? So there's a suggestion that they were also involved in the disruption at Pride March. That was the first I'd heard of them. So what do we know about this group?
Well, I've been trying to communicate with them somewhat today. I put a post up on my blog on the Stirrer, and I basically handed over most of it to them so they could explain what they were about. It stems from the fact that over the last few years, there's an awful lot of oxygen gone out of every gay issue apart from marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, the gay community has done very well in kind of holding together and fighting for marriage and keeping that as like the single issue we've been pushing. But while we've been doing that, we've forgotten there's a whole younger generation of people coming along who don't give anything for marriage and are not interested in marriage and have their own issues and problems to deal with. Trans exclusion being a big one, but also simple practical things like homelessness, for LGBTI homelessness, young LGBTI mental health, so on and so forth. What's happened is that these people feel they've been left behind, they've been left out, but what things like Pride and Midsummer and Equal Love now are about are nothing to do with them, and they're being ignored, and they're suffering, and no one's paying any attention. We're all too busy trying to be normal, as they put it.
Would it be going too far to say that there's a generation gap within the LGBTI community?
I think that's what we're seeing, yes. It's being expressed in this by this fringe extreme group, but I do think there's an awful lot of young LGBTI people who maybe not even identify as LGBTI. They use terms like genderqueer, gender fluid. Mm-hmm. They don't live in the rigid categories and identities that LGBTI tend to. And that's kind of grown up while we've been busy chasing marriage and we haven't paid it enough attention.
What do you think, do you think there is a way that we can bridge this gap?
I don't know. I mean, I've been trying. One of the reasons I've been putting those posts up on the Stirrer is trying to get a debate going, because it's all very, very polarized at the moment. You've got a lot of people of my generation saying, not going anywhere near Equal Love when these horrible, violent, extreme lefties are around. And you've got the radical queers and things saying, don't tell us what to do or how to do it. If you want to support us, whatever we do. Now, that's a very large gap to try and bridge. But I'm hoping we can try and get some sort of dialogue going.
Doc Pollard, thank you.
And thanks for the opportunity.
No worries, thanks. Yes, we also tried to get Equal Love in the studio to respond to this. However, they could not make that. They did leave a statement with us. I would like to remind our allies that we have many fights to fight and many targets to aim at. Equal Love is and has been for 12 years campaigning for marriage equality. I accept it is not everyone under the rainbow umbrella's most pivotal issue to be fighting for, but for many it is.
And we've already had some messages supporting, well, cheering on Doug, and great to some acknowledgement. Great to hear from Doug again. And some comments about this issue. The protest does highlight a huge cultural shift in the community and a changing identity amongst a younger generation of queer people who don't want to assimilate. And that the gatekeepers, well, that's a question, the gatekeepers of the community, full of older gay men, need to address the problem with disenfranchised queers and be more organised. And another question's come through. The real question is, does the gay community exist? So, well, that's a great big question that we might leave for another program, because it's a huge one, and more support for hearing Doug's voice again on Joy. This is The Informer on Joy 94.9, and if you have anything to add, text us on 0427 JOY949, email us on air at joy.org.au. And coming up, we'll be speaking to Fiona Patton.
Saying a woman's right to choose is an absolutely outrageous euphemism. I mean, what does right to choose mean?
We're not there to judge or condemn anyone. We're just there to help people.
Over the past 21 years, we've helped over 300 girls who have changed their mind right outside abortion clinics. We believe there's never justification for a woman to have an abortion. Even though the mother may feel very bad about having been raped, it's still her son or daughter. So that would having an abortion then would really be harmful for her psychologically as well. We know some girls who in our movement who have been raped, have the babies, and they love the babies absolutely. You've got to remember that a baby's life is at stake, and we have to plead for the life of the baby. We call ourselves life advocates. That baby's life must take precedence over the feelings of the mother.
I had a termination done over 20 years ago after I was violently raped. It's just so distressing. These people don't know what the women go through when you're raped violently, or any, when you're raped. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was audio from The Feed on SBS. They did a story on protesters at the fertility clinic. Some listeners may find the audio clip a bit disturbing. It featured the founding members of the group Helpers of God's Precious Infants. That clip ended with a caller of 3AWS Neil Mitchell program. Now, on the phone, we have Fiona from the Australian Sex Party. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, we are in the studio with Claudine.
Hello, Fiona.
Hey, Claudine.
You brought about, so we just heard some comments, an interview with you and some other comments about the women's right to seek abortion, and you've brought about a law to protect women from harassment when attending abortion clinics, which has just come through this week. How difficult was it to get this law passed?
Look, it's not an easy thing as an independent and new member of parliament to successfully get a private members bill through two houses of parliament. While I wasn't able to get my private members bill through, I was able to get my private members bill through as a government bill. So once we could successfully argue the position that women's privacy and was being breached, and and they were being harassed about personal medical decisions that were being made, that this was a serious issue that needed to be addressed, We got support from the government and largely from the and also from lots of members of the opposition to introduce legislation that would protect the privacy of women seeking abortions and other fertility services at fertility clinics.
Could you run us through the specifics of this law. What in fact does it prevent, or what's become, and what are the consequences for people who break that?
Yes. Well, basically, it says, listen, you cannot harass or intimidate people entering into a fertility clinic seeking fertility services, in particular, seeking terminations or abortion. You cannot harass or intimidate them. You cannot be out there providing harassing material or protesting material. You must stand 150 metres from the entrance of one of these clinics. Now, if you don't, there are a series of sanctions, and that goes up to very serious sanctions for people who film another person entering into one of those clinics. And those sanctions can include jail terms of up to 12 months and also sort of $1,000 fines, effectively. But we believe that women's rights to privacy should be reflected in our legislation and should be respected. And I think the vast majority of Australians agree.
We were talking earlier with Doug Pollard about the protests that happened outside Scots Church last week in response to a speaker from the Australian Christian Lobby, and that in fact turned into a bit of a violent confrontation between, it seems, a few different groups. Do you think protests like this are happening more often, or is there becoming, are we seeing more of a violent nature to these?
Look, I think protesting is one thing, and I fully support people's right to protest, and I think that is, you know, that is a fundamental right of free speech. It's a fundamental right of democracy. And every day that Parliament's sitting, we have anti-abortion protesters outside Parliament protesting against Victoria's abortion laws. You know, I think it's a very sad thing when they denigrate to violence. But I do think that if people are protesting more, there are reasons for doing that. Whether it's climate change, whether it's sexuality, or whether it's, you know, looking at some of the discriminatory practices that we are playing out with our approach to refugees. You know, the right to protest is very important and should be upheld. The right to violence and the right to harass and intimidate people is not okay.
No, because if you need to resort to those kinds of means, you actually already lost the argument, isn't it?
That's a very good way of putting it. And sadly, I think some of those people who, you know, and in this specific instance, some of those people who are harassing women going into fertility clinics, or harassing women just walking past the clinic to try and get their point of view across. Yes, I think they have lost the argument, but it's certainly not the most effective way to go about things. If you want change, then do what I did: start up a political party, and, you know,
really show your commitment,
and then
though.
Get elected, and then write a bill, and then get it in.
Yeah, well, it's a great way to tackle the problem. I think a lot of people won't be able to do that the same way as you did that. But of course, it is the best way to deal with that.
That's right, and you know, we get protesters out the front of Parliament regularly, and I think that is a great thing. And I actually learn a lot about that, and as a representative of the community in this parliament, that is my job, and it is my job to listen to a wide range of views. But my job as a personal citizen is not that. So as a personal citizen going to have an abortion, I should not be intimidated and harassed about my decision to do that. By all means, come and harass me as a member of parliament about the laws, but you do not harass other people about personal decisions that they have made.
Especially when they're in such a vulnerable position already.
That's exactly right, Claudine. That's exactly right. I mean, this is not an easy decision that people make. And I like to use the analogy. I mean, imagine if we had homophobic people protesting around outside an HIV and AIDS HIV testing facility. Mm-hmm. Now, we would see this as incredibly outrageous, and I actually think that that would have got closed down. You know, we'd had people protesting outside a vaccination clinic. This would be closed down. But abortion still has a lot of stigma in this society, and women are still very, very hesitant about coming out about having an abortion. So there's still lots of stigma around it, and I think this is why people feel like they have permission to go and harass now, women outside clinics.
All right. According to Doc Pollard, it was made mainly because socialist alternative group and socialist alliance groups are infiltrating into the equal loft, that they becoming more militant and a bit more violent in their protests. Do you have any experience with these kind of groups?
Look, I have seen some bad behaviour from all different sorts of groups. I have seen bad behaviour from, you know, the helpers of God's precious infants who walk up from the cathedral. I have seen bad behaviour from the Socialist Alliance and some of those more sort of rabid alternative groups that may protest. And generally they are pro-choice, but sometimes they behave appallingly. But the main thrust of this piece of legislation, the Safe Access Bill, the Safe Access Laws, was really just to provide some sanctuary for women and their partners and their friends, just some sanctuary and a little bit of space, clear space for them to go into what is often a traumatic or at least emotional procedure.
Well, just to end on a more general note, Sex Party, of course, supports LGBTIQ rights and marriage equality. Mm. And at this very pivotal moment, what are your priorities for LGBTIQ rights in the lead up to the federal election and a possible plebiscite on marriage equality?
Well, I think the plebiscite is bollocks. To try and use a polite word, it's ridiculous. I mean, we didn't have a plebiscite about going to the Vietnam War.
Indeed.
You know, we didn't have a plebiscite about a whole range of issues that have a far more dramatic effect on society and on people's lives. The Australian Sex Party believes in equality for all. I believe that the Marriage Act is completely discriminatory, and we should amend it to amend it as we have done with so many pieces of legislation to reflect the egalitarian and the equal society that we live in and as Australians we expect of our laws. So we fully support marriage equality. We fully support the removal of any legislation that discriminates against someone on the grounds of their sexuality. And for example, the exemptions from Discrimination Act that religious organisations get is another area that we are very, very passionate about removing. So whether that means let's make churches pay their fair share of tax, or whether it means let's remove the exemptions that they currently get from state discrimination acts, these are things that, sorry, I'm getting on a bit of a soapbox there.
I think there's a lot of support for this among us. Well, I can see from the messages coming in that there's a lot of support. Great to hear from Fiona. Love hearing from Fiona. How refreshing to hear a sensible woman.
Yeah.
Everything you say is right. Thank you for all that you do. So it's
wonderful.
Really been wonderful to speak to you, Fiona. And
yeah, well, I've enjoyed doing such a great job in this field as well. I mean, you know, just it's one of it's one of the only radio stations that is there for our community. And I just Sex Party in many ways wouldn't be there without the likes of Joy.
Indeed, thanks.
Right. Thank you so much for that, Fiona.
Thanks, guys.
No worries.
Thank you.
That was Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, member of the Legislative Council in Victoria.
If you have anything to say about this, let us know. Email onair@joy.org.au or text the studio for 0427-JOY-949.
A full rundown on today's stories will be on the Joy website shortly. Thanks to today's guests, Doug Pollard and Fiona Patton. Today's producers were Bart van der Werf and myself, Claudine Cheong. For a podcast of today's program and our other stories, visit joy.org.au/theinformer. We'll be back again tomorrow at 6:30. Up next is World Wide Wave with more international news. This is Claudine Cheong on The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.